morning, everybody. You are God's favorite kids. You're his favorite. Okay, let's I'm going to pray real quick. Father, we just thank you. Even though we've prayed, Lord, I just want to pray again. Because I'm asking for your help. I pray that you just may help me speak only what you want me to say, Father. And just show us, Lord, what you want us to learn today, to teach us, but also minister to us, Father, with your great love. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I really couldn't come up with a title for the message because I sensed two things that the Lord wanted to talk about today. The first one, I heard him ask me a question. And he said, what is the kingdom of God likened unto? And I thought, oh, good, I know the answer to this one. a mustard seed. Check. But then I thought, oh, what does that really mean? Right? So that's what we're going to learn about. So in Matthew 13, 31 through 32, he, Jesus, put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. And again in Mark 4, 30 through 32, it also states the same. The mustard seed is sown. It is the smallest of all seeds, yet grows and becomes the largest of all plants in the garden. And then Luke 13, 18 through 21. He said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and became a tree. And the birds of the air made nests in its branches. And again he said, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour until it was leavened. So, a couple things here. We're talking about the kingdom of God, right? When it's planted, the word, when it's planted. So the mustard seed is the smallest of all agricultural seeds, but becomes a tree. So we got some pictures. So here's a mustard seed. Pretty small, isn't it? But then that seed will grow into a tree. It can grow to 20 feet tall and 20 feet wide. This is a remarkable contrast between the small beginning of the mustard seed to its final large mustard tree. The kingdom of God is likened unto the mustard seed for its modest small beginnings and its glorious final state. So, we're talking about God's kingdom, the kingdom of God. When Jesus, he was the firstborn of Father, right? Look, when he died, he was planted, so to speak. And then when he rose from the dead, and then look at all the people that have been born again come to him. That's the kingdom of God. Okay? So then Matthew 17, 14 through 20. And when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him, Jesus, and kneeling before him said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he has seizures and he suffers terribly. For often he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples and they could not heal him. And Jesus answered, oh, faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here. Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? He said to them, because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Jesus' reply indicates that even a very small amount of faith, right, genuine trust in God, can lead to remarkable results. Our faith doesn't need to be outwardly large to have a large impact, right? So I just sense the Lord today wants to encourage us. We all have faith. Doesn't matter how big we may think it is or feel it is, we have faith, even if it's small as a mustard seed. When we have faith in our faith and faith in Him, He can do miraculous things, right? So, faith as small as a mustard seed, one, can move mountains. You know, the metaphor, not physical mountains, but mountains in our lives, those things that come against us or deal with. They may seem like mountains. They may seem huge, right? But with God and Jesus and His power, we can move them. Number two, it encourages us to trust in God's word and the Holy Spirit's power, even when we think or feel our faith seems small. And number three, it illustrates that our faith can lead to miraculous, profound changes and solutions to seemingly impossible situations in our lives and the world around us due to God's supernatural power and strength. Amen. And I, you know, I'm kind of preaching to the choir here, I know. You've all experienced God's healing, his blessing on our lives, right? And that's, and yeah, it's good to hear it. It's good to hear it again and encourage us. So then the second thing I heard was last days. It was very strong. So then I sense the Lord, He wants us to lead and guide us in the plans and the purposes that He has, especially in the last days. Even assignments. You know, Bob talked about assignments a couple weeks ago. I believe God, there are assignments God wants us to do. And it will take faith, right? It'll take faith to trust Him. Even just to live in these last days. We're going to read about it right now. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of trouble. I think one translation says perilous times. These will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of truth. How many know all of those things are the opposite of Father God and the kingdom of God, right? And we know the word tells us we are in this world, but we're not of this world. So we can see that scripture playing out right now, right? In our world. But those that aren't of the kingdom of God, they can't see it. They may say, well, what's going on? But they really can't see what's really going on. That makes sense. So we can understand what Jesus prayed to the Father for the disciples and for all those who would believe in Him in John 17, verse 15 through 16. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And the Father doesn't want us to be fearful of these perilous times, right? Because He's given us, a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind, right? So we don't need to be fearful, So we can use our faith even if it's as small as a grain of mustard seed. And some days that it's hard, you know, some days we feel like that. I don't have a lick of faith here, right? It's just the way it is. But even if it's small, we can believe the Father and that he will keep us from the evil one, just like Jesus prayed. Amen. So, and then Revelation 12, 10 through 11. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now the salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they conquered him, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Right there. That gives us fighting orders. I don't know how else to say battle orders, right? Okay, so, you know, the devil only knows that we are in the last days because of what Jesus said it would happen. I mean, we just read Jesus, you know, what Timothy said. So right now he's having a fit, basically, because he's in a rage, and I don't want to give him any glory. We just kind of, sometimes we have to recognize him and then apply what the word says and what God wants to do. He knows his time is short, because he knows what the word says. We're in the last days, and this is happening. Look at these people, you know, people are going crazy. It is. But they're influenced. People are only influenced either by the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. It's kind of simple, but sometimes it's hard for us to grasp, because we can't see in the spiritual realm what's going on, right? But that's why the Lord says we put on our armor every day. So he knows his time is short, and he's having a little hissy fit these days. But Revelation 12 says, we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony and the word of God. So that's why it's important. We do it in every Sunday. That's why we declared Psalm 91 over us every Sunday. That's a word of our testimony, right? That's God's promise that he will protect us. Amen? And we plead the blood of Jesus. And I encourage you, plead the blood of Jesus over yourself and your family, your property, your animals, your vehicles, every day, even day and night, because it says he accuses the brethren day and night. So we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen? And, we have to look at it. We're on the offense when it comes to this spiritual battle we're in. We're not on the defense. We are coming from a place of victory. Why? Because Ephesians 1:17. I didn't write it all down, but I read it every day. It says, God of our Father, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, who? Jesus. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling. You know, we have a calling. Jesus has a calling. Jesus has a harvest he's wanting to bring in, right? And then it goes on and say, it tells us how we were dead and slain in our trespasses, Father, but you who are rich in mercy, you've called us out of darkness. He called us out of that darkness. He called us out of that dark world and placed us in his marvelous light. And when the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, think about it, that same power. So what do you think? Do you think he might want to come out once in a while? Sometimes we got to let him out. Okay, but it's good to know. We need to know. So then in Ephesians, it goes on a little farther, and it says, the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. And when God raised Jesus from the dead, I just picture it. He shot up out of hell, out of that grave, up into heaven, and God sat him at his own right hand. So here's the Father, and here's Jesus. And then it says, when we were dead and are slain by our trespasses and sins, God raised us up just like he did Jesus, and he sat us in Jesus. So when the Father rose Jesus, he rose up, rose us. When he seated Jesus, he seated Jesus. He seated us in Jesus. Amen? So we are seated in him. Right now, we're all sitting in Jesus next to the Father. So, how's this come together with my message? I think the Lord wants us to use our faith, even if it's just a seed, to believe and see us. We're seated, and take authority over the devil. You're not going to mess with my family. You're not going to steal from me. We know you come to steal, kill, and destroy. But God raised me up far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that's name in this age and that which is to come, because I am seated in Jesus. Amen? You know, every time you say that, you just, you know, and the Holy Spirit helps us. He shows us. Fear can't come at us. Even when it does, we can say, nope, I'm seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen? So I encourage you, read that. It doesn't take long. It doesn't take long in the morning. And it's, you know, now, especially with school started, that wasn't God's will in Minneapolis. Not at all. And no fault to the people that live there, but we do have habitational authority. I don't have authority in Minneapolis. I have authority. I live in Rockford. I have authority here because I go to church here. I plant my seed here. Amen? So I can take my authority. And the demons, they have to listen. In your neighborhood. Amen? We've got to. You know, they can't. What, 1960 was it? They kicked prayer out of schools. 1962, President Kennedy was killed. And look at the decline in our schools since then. When we take God out of things, evil fills the void. And now we gotta take our authority. We gotta keep our kids safe. I just feel like that's been an assignment that I felt the Lord has put on my heart for a while now. I've got to use my authority, especially for these kids. Amen. So how we do it? It's very simple. Know who you are. Know your authority. Now, a great book is Kenneth Hagin, Believer's Authority. And, you know, oh, this is a great story. Thank you, Lord. He reminded me of this. You probably already heard it, but Kenneth Hagin was, he had a visitation from Jesus, and Jesus was talking to him, and all of a sudden this little monkey like thing kept coming in between them, and Kenneth kept thinking, well, Jesus, don't you see that? Don't you know I can't hear you? What, you know? And he discerned it was a demon, but you know, it kept going on and on, and finally, you know, Kenneth said, get, and it left. And he said, couldn't you see it? You were trying to talk to me, but I couldn't understand what you were saying. Why didn't you take care of it? And Jesus says, I couldn't. I've given you authority in the earth. You authority. You have authority over those demons. Amen. And it's not comfortable all the time. I don't like to do it all the time, but I have to. I mean, I, you know, not that, you know, if you miss a day, come on, you know, don't let the devil beat you up, because we are in Christ. But you see what I'm saying. We need to always have our be on the watch, be our, you know, use our mustard seed faith. Amen. Then I heard, this was just not too long ago, I don't know if you know who Billy Brim is. Anybody? Billy, she has a son, Chip. He pastors a church in Oklahoma, I think. Well, he had a former warlock come and talk to him, and he said one of their assignments, witches and warlocks, their assignments was to get in the schools and use some not so godly curriculum and get in little kids' heads. You know what I'm talking about. I don't need to say it. It was very ungodly. And he said we could do it unless the parents pleaded the blood of Jesus over those children's minds. We could not infiltrate their minds. That is powerful. So remember that. We plead that there's power in the blood. I mean, we sing about it, but okay. Well, we're reminding each other again. There's power in the blood. Okay. So where was I? Okay. Yeah. Since the enemy accuses us day and night, it's good that we plead the blood and say, hosts, go and protect my family. Every night I say, my Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over my family, my house, my land, my property, and hosts, go and protect my family. And I plead the blood of Jesus over myself. Amen. I mean, it's quick. And that's the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Amen. Okay. How am I doing, Jenny? Okay. Mark 16, 15 through 18. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name. In whose name? Jesus' name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink in any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. This is the body of Christ's assignment. This is our mission. These are what we're supposed to do. Even though Jesus was talking to his disciples, still talking to his body, right? So, and we know that, you know, how long has the Lord really been impressing on us to spend time with him, right? It's been a couple years. He's encouraged us, spend time with him, be quiet before him, read his word. And that's so we can know his voice, hear his voice, right? So the healing of the boy in Matthew 17 highlights the importance of faith and knowing our authority in Christ in performing miracles. The Lord has called us to allow him to perform miracles through us. We're Jesus with skin on. Right? You know, I think, you know, sometimes God is sovereign and he'll move on a person just supernaturally, you know, without another person there. But the majority of the time, he does it through people, right? Have you seen that? Yeah. Jesus with skin on. So, stepping out of ourselves and doing what Jesus wants and ask us to do, it takes faith. It does. It takes faith. You know, Lord, if I'm gonna do this, is that person gonna reject me? Is he gonna call me stupid? Or, you know, it's gonna be dead as a doornail? You know. But whenever we speak his word and pray in his name, something happens. Even if we may not see it with our eyes, something will happen. I'm just reminded of another testimony, and I give glory to God for this. This has been a few weeks ago. After church, I had a desire to go to Taco Bell. I don't go to Taco Bell very often, but I really wanted to go to Taco Bell. I said, okay. So I went through the drive-thru and tried to get the, I don't know, cleanest, purest one they had, you know. And I get to the drive window, and the girl, she was probably in her late 20s, early 30s. She was talking to her coworker, and she goes, oh, my God, my cousin in Chicago on the south side just got shot, and they just took him into hospital. She was reading off her phone. And I was like, oh. So, you know, she was talking to the other person, you know, the co-worker there, and it's like, okay, Lord, maybe this is why I came to Taco Bell. So I just, you know, she gave me my food, and I said, you know, would it be okay if we prayed for your cousin? Oh, yeah. So we prayed, you know, and we just asked God. She was very open, asked God to guide the surgeon, spare his life, and, you know, and I prayed for her, and when we were done, she goes, oh, thank you so much. I needed that today. We never know. And I don't know what happened to her cousin. That's between him and God. I hope he, you know, I hope he pulled through. But it, you know, just ministered to her. And, you know, it wasn't me. So, and, you know, just be aware of those little things. Even when you don't normally go to Taco Bell, but you want to, you have that desire, just go, right? Okay. So it takes faith. You know, I thought, you know, you just, even just like that, just praying for someone. It seems like a small act, but it's not, because we're allowing the Holy Spirit then to move and do something with that in that person's life. We have no idea, you know, what that did. That little grain of mustard seed. Amen. So, I felt on my heart this morning that the Lord wants us to pray against the spirit of fear of children, you know, because of what happened last week. We're going to take our authority. We're not going to allow the enemy, because that's how he traffics, and we're not going to allow him to enter our hearts, parents' hearts, kids' hearts, right? Amen. And I want you to think about, is there something that the Lord has put on your heart to believe him for, but you just don't think you have the faith for it, right? Okay? It's really not up to you. It's up to him, right? Or is there something he has asked you to do, but you think you can't because you don't have enough faith? And remember, we don't compare yourselves to other people. You know, is it in Peter? It says, "Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought, because God has given to every man the same measure of faith." So someone may be doing mighty things. Well, God's given them a measure of faith for that. That doesn't mean that your measure is any less, right? Amen. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord. I ask that this message take root. That seed, just that mustard seed, takes root and grows, and we water it, Father. We believe you. We have faith in you. We believe that we can trust you. We have faith in your word. It doesn't matter what we think our size faith is. It's your power and your might and your purpose and your plan when we speak your word, Father. And so, Father, we just pray. I pray for every family represented here, Father, our schools, the parents of these schools. Father, we take authority over Satan. We bind you. I bind the spirit of fear and apprehension and anxiety when they take their kids to school Tuesday. We bind you in Jesus' name. We have habitational authority. So now just in, if you want out loud or in your heart, you just see your kid's school and you say, I plead the blood of Jesus over that school. I plead the blood of Jesus over the doorways, the lentils, the door lentils, the windows, the parking lot, the campus. I draw the bloodline of Jesus around that school in the name of Jesus. I bind you, Satan. I bind every plot, plan, scheme, tactic to bring cause, harm to those kids. I bind you, and I loose God's power against you. I break all your plots, and I send confusion into your camp in Jesus' name. Amen. And, you know, even if you feel led, drive around that school. Walk around it and just pray. Amen. Amen.